The message today is the mark of greatness from 1 Thessalonians 2, 7 to 9. We usually think of the Apostle Paul as a great man, but why do we think of him that way? Well, because of the many souls that he won to the Lord, or because of the many churches he started, or because of his faithfulness, regardless of the opposition he faced, or because of dying as a martyr for the Lord? These did not make him great. Rather, these were the result of being the great man that he was. Yet remember, there have been other believers just as great who did not win the number of souls to the Lord that he had won, or did not start as many churches as he had started, or did not die as a martyr's death. Now, greatness is more than what we see, than what we do. In 2 Samuel 22, verse 36, we read that David said, "Thy gentleness has made me great." In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, we read this, "Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you." So he talks about the characteristics of Christ that he had, meekness and gentleness and so forth. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, we read this, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient." So he was the servant of the Lord. The first verse we saw that he exhibited the characteristics of Christ. He was Christ-like. And now we read that he was the servant of the Lord. Now notice what Paul said to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children." He said, "We were gentle," and then he went on to describe his character and conduct. Now, the modern philosophy is that a great man is one who is strong and who is in control and who snaps his fingers and people jump to attention and whose voice commands attention and response. Now, the Apostle Paul was no wimp, but he did not come across like the modern philosophy of the world is. He says, "We were gentle among you." The people of Thessalonica were total strangers to the Apostle Paul before he arrived in town, yet he treated them as if they had been childhood friends. With deep love and compassion, his conduct went beyond that of a friend. He said in verse 7 again, "We were gentle among you as a nurse cherisheth her children." A professional nurse will usually do a good job in taking care of her patients. And if the patients are children, She especially shows love and care. But if the patient is her own child, it makes a tremendous difference because there will be a love and a concern and a tenderness that is demonstrated to the child that may not be demonstrated to others. Now, Paul said, our love for you, our concern for you, and our care for you, and our conduct among you was like that of a nurse would have for her own children. His heart was filled with compassion toward them. His heart yearned for their spiritual well-being. We read in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, something that Jesus said. Matthew 10, 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as servants and harmless as doves. In other words, don't stand your ground. Don't let them pull anything over your eyes. Stand up for your rights. But instead, he said, be harmless as doves. Now, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8, we read that to minister unto them, they were to be gentle among them and to show the gentleness of Christ. And the Apostle Paul showed that, and he preached Christ. And not only did he preach Christ, but he showed Christ unto them. And in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 8, he says, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. Notice it said, being affectionately desirous. And that means that Paul had a deep yearning for these folks. And coupled together with verse 7, we see that this has the thought of the deep yearning as the nurse would have over her own sick child. Now, the only other place that this word is used is way back in Job chapter 3, verse 21. Here we read, which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than for hid treasures. Now, he didn't use the exact word there that Paul used, but he had a deep longing. See, Job was going through great misery, and he had a great longing to be able to die and to go to be with the Lord. I remember one of my brother's father-in-law, the last day of his life, he was in such great pain that the family prayed that God would take him home. They wanted him to be relieved of his pain and agony, and they just desired that he would go home to heaven where he would be much better off. The Apostle Paul had such a deep longing for the souls of these Thessalonians that it motivated him to bring the gospel message unto them, and there was no holding back of anything to minister unto them. They were willing to give of their own lives, if need be, in ministering unto these dear people. And that was great love that the Apostle Paul had for these people. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 9, we read, "For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God." Now, Paul did more than spend his time in evangelizing and seeking to win these people to Christ. He also worked to support himself financially. In the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 4, we read this, "And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few." Now, some of these women were in prominent places, and Jason may have, I want to read another verse, verse 9. "And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go." Again, some of these women were in prominent places, and Jason also may have had wealth and could have supported Paul when they were saved, or Paul could have asked them to support him. And this wouldn't have been wrong. The Bible strongly teaches this truth. Going back to Luke chapter 10, verse 7. Luke 10, verse 7. We read this. "And in the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they give." Now notice, "for the laborer is worthy of his hire." And then going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 9 through 11, we read this, "For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or set he it all together for our sakes?" For our sakes, no doubt, this was written, "that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we reap your carnal things or material or financial things?" Yet Paul wanted nothing from them to stand in the way of his ministry. He did not want them to think in any way that he was there to profit off of them. He did not want to be charged with greed in any way. So Paul not only preached, but worked at his trade of tent making to support himself. And it says he was working night and day, ministering to these people and working to support himself while he was there. And this showed Paul's great love and concern for their souls in doing everything he could to to reach these people and minister unto him. Now, as we conclude, let's be sure to see that such great love and concern in his service was the result of his love for the Lord. In Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, Romans 5, 6 through 8, we read, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Paul loved the Lord because the Lord first loved him. Jesus died on Calvary's cross because he wanted to pay the penalty of our sin and to make it possible for us to receive him as Savior and have our sin forgiven and to belong to him forever and ever. And because of this great love for the Lord, he had a deep love for these folks at Thessalonica. Now back to Paul's greatness. It was because of his love for the Lord and the Christ-like character that Paul had and showed that made him such a great man that he was. And so greatness is not characteristic of, or is not the characteristics that the world says is important in order for us to be great, but it's to love the Lord and to be Christ-like in our love and to show the same characteristics that the Lord Jesus Christ showed when he was here on earth. That's what made him so great. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for this time we've had in your word. And Lord, I pray that each of us who listen to this message and look at your word might have a great desire to be Christ-like in our lives. And help us to remember that greatness comes from loving you and being Christ-like in our lives, not from the being the way the world says we need to be in order to be great. Lord, help us to love you and to desire to be like you. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.